Tonight, we're going to read from Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46, and we'll pray after we read down through verse 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Let's pray. Father God, I just ask you tonight that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. Lord, that you might speak into each and every heart truth that sets free. Lord, that we might hear and believe. And Father, that you be glorified in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The stories of Jesus changing people's lives were not recorded so that we could read about history. These stories were not written so we could read about what God did once upon a time. No, John 20 and 30 says that these things were written that you might believe. They were written so that we would believe and our lives would be changed. I want you to know he's still a miracle-working God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not, he will not change. Now, this is a powerful story about a blind man who was healed. His life was absolutely changed forever. I believe the Lord still heals. I believe he still opens blind eyes. I believe that he still changes lives. There are many who have eyes but don't see. Jesus even talked about that. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. He's blinded their minds so they won't believe the gospel. And I'll tell you, the enemy of our soul, he blinds people's minds to keep them from believing so that their lives are not changed. Now, that's certainly true of the lost, but I want to tell you, there are a lot of, get this, believers. That's what we call ourselves, right? There's a lot of believers that don't believe so much of the truth of the Word of God, and it keeps them from living in all that God has for them. You know, to be blind physically is a tragedy. I mean, to not be able to behold the beauty of God's creation, but to be blind spiritually and not be able to see all that God has for us, that's a true tragedy. To not really live the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. So we're going to work our way through this story tonight. There's a lot of principles that we need to apply to our life. I'm going to tell you, you can learn a lot from this once blind man, blind Bartimaeus. We'll just kind of take it slow. Mark 10:46 says, blind Bartimaeus. This was his label. The world will label you. We got all kinds of labels. People get labeled by their problems a lot of the time. We got alcoholic and addict and manic depressive and obese and schizophrenic and all kinds of labels. They just go on and on. And so often we just kind of learn to accept those labels. But I want to tell you, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can cast off those labels. Yeah. You know, they didn't have these labels when I was a kid, but if they had I would have been labeled OCD and ADD and just about every other letter in the alphabet. But back then, they just had one that they used. It was BAD. And I have to tell you, though, as a pastor, I've had so many labels. Yeah. Believe me. One that I used to wear, though, I guess I still get this one sometimes, is tight. But I have passed that one off to AJ. You know, AJ's the young man that leads us in prayer to begin our service on Sunday morning. And some of you are going to remember this story, but one day me and AJ were working outside, and he ripped the seat of his pants. And I felt bad, you know. Here he is out here working hard, helping me. And so I gave him some money to get some pants. I want you to remember that part of the story. Well, then a few weeks later, we're working outside again. And I'm like, what is that on the seat of your pants? Duct tape. I'm tight, but I ain't that tight. You know what I'm saying? And some of you, you know, you see, you're going to want it. You feel bad. You're thinking, I need to give AJ some money. I mean, now he's married. He's got a kid on the way. Anyway, he'll still be wearing duct tape. But here's the thing. People will label you because of a weakness or because of a failure, or even label you for wrongs done to you. They'll call you a victim, a failure, a loser, a nobody. But in Jesus Christ, I want you to know none of those labels stick. In Christ, we got rid of those old labels. We get new labels like forgiven and redeemed and healed and free and blessed and righteous and more than a conqueror. Amen. We get new labels. Blind Bartimaeus. He sat by the road begging. This was his life. This is how he made a living, begging from other people, looking to other people to meet his needs, looking to other people as his source. We shouldn't judge Bartimaeus. It was all that he knew. And we shouldn't be judgmental of people in our generation that are looking to other people or other things to be their answer, because I want to tell you, for a whole lot of them, it's all they know. They've never heard about the life-changing power of Jesus that can set them free, that can give them the fulfillment that they're looking for in life. But I will tell you this, that spiritual blindness will turn you into a beggar. And you know what? There's a lot of spiritual blindness that comes through old dead man-made religion. You know, you hear these things like, Jesus doesn't do miracles anymore. Those promises, they're not for us. I know that the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And we need to know that the promises are for us. But you know, blind Bartimaeus, he sat by the road begging, living that life of a beggar. He needed a little something in his cup. Each and every day, you know, he needed somebody to give him just a little to get him through the day, and he'll be back at it tomorrow. That's his life. And you know what? That's also the attitude of a lot of Christians. They just need a little of this and a little of that. They just, you know, they think something's going to help them just to get by, get past where we are. Something's going to help me to feel whole. Got quiet. I just want to tell you that beggars don't have much to give. And I'm not talking about money. Preacher's always talking about money. I'm not talking about money. Beggars don't have much to give. See, Satan wants to keep us down and keep us in a place where we're just not really able to fulfill the call of God and what God wants to do in and through our life. Let me tell you what it sounds like. I would help, but I don't have time. I'm a beggar. I don't have any time. I can't help somebody else. I'm just trying to survive. I want you to know the enemy of our soul, he wants to keep us begging. Sometimes it goes like this. Just a glass or two or three. Just a couple of pills. Just a little porn. Just a little love. Just a little more stuff. Just a little more self-esteem. Just a little affirmation. Just a little more approval. Just a little more. Always just a little more. Just to get me by. And I want you to know that the devil wants to keep us living like spiritual paupers. Keep us in the dark about what's available to us as a born-again child of God. I want to remind you, the answer is yes in Christ. He heals, he sets free, he gives a peace that passes understanding. He gives us a joy that's unspeakable. He supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory. He leads us and guides us. He comforts us. He binds up our wounds. He's always with us. He loves us and he calls us his very own. And I tell you, when these are spiritual truths from the scripture, and when we know these truths, it sets us free. You see, we need our eyes open. So many get deceived, they get bound, and they're not really living in the promises of God and what God has for them. They're looking to the things of the world, trying to find fulfillment. Somebody put a little something in my cup. David said, my cup runs over. Yeah, the world might keep you begging, but I'll tell you, when the Lord fills your cup, it runs over. Amen. Amen. You can't even contain all that God has. But just like blind Bartimaeus begging on the side of the road, so many people end up begging for stuff, begging for approval, begging for love, instead of crying out to God. Now it's about to get ugly. Some of us, we get on social media for hours, but we don't have time to pray. Some don't have time to go to worship, especially on a Wednesday night, much less being involved in serving in the work of the Lord. Now, I want to say, I realize social media can be used for good. I mean, to make connections with people and encourage one another, keep up with one another, and pray for one another. But unless you manage it properly, statistics show that the more time young people spend on social media, the more likely they are to be depressed. Because social media kind of becomes a place where people are searching for affirmation or a compliment. Or a like. You post your picture and then you wait. Got to see if somebody's going to like my picture. Tell me I'm pretty. Nobody's ever told me that, by the way. Just want to say. But the truth is a whole lot of the time, you see, in this culture that we live in, people are just looking for a little love, a little affirmation. Somebody tell me I mean something, that I'm worth something. And I just got to tell you, all of this begging, just wanting others, the approval of others and needing other people to make me feel good. We need to realize that our God is the one that fills our cup. We don't have to look to this world and always be, you know, needing something from the world. Let God fill our cup. You don't need a drink of alcohol when you got rivers of living water flowing from within. You don't need the approval of man when the Most High calls you his son, his daughter. See, when he's your portion and you drink from the fountain of living water, your cup runs over. You don't need the things of this world. Bartimaeus went from begging to a total life change. Here's one of the things that happened. He was in the right place at the right time. Jesus was passing by. And here's why that matters. He had heard about all of the miracles that Jesus had done, and he hears that Jesus was passing by, and in that moment, he believed. And it's that faith that taps us into the power of God working in our life. Jesus told this man, he said, "Your faith has made you well." And I know a lot of people got a problem with that. I didn't write it. I didn't say it first. Jesus did. He told this man, "Your faith has made you well." But I got to tell you, this man had no faith to believe for this miracle until he heard that Jesus was passing by. And all of the sudden, you see, when he heard something, his faith came alive. He was in the right place at the right time to hear, "Jesus is passing by." And now he believes and he begins to cry out. Right place at the right time. Usually that's not going to be in front of the TV set. I can tell you a lot of the time that it's going to happen at church. A lot of the time, people miss the word that they needed. See, he got a word. Jesus is passing by. And a lot of the time, people miss the word they needed because they weren't in the right place at the right time, where faith would rise in their heart and they would truly believe in a miracle happen. Some of you are in the right place at the right time. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, see, there it is. When he heard it, it's Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so many times people miss that word that they need. But when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he began to cry out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He did something when he believed. And this is where we miss it a lot of the time. Faith without works is dead. There has to be some action to our faith. And because he believed, he began to cry out to Jesus for mercy. I'll tell you, we need to do a lot more crying out to Jesus. We need to remember how desperately we need him. Verse 48, then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd told him to be quiet. Don't listen to the crowd. There's a crowd that we live in where if we'll allow it, well, they'll just get us quiet, squelch us, hinder us. I mean, there's the religious crowd. Well, you don't know. God doesn't really do that anymore. Or maybe he will, maybe he won't. We just don't know. They will undermine and undercut your faith. Don't get your hopes up. Some subtle deception. Don't really believe God. Just be like me. When the Bible says, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I think it's interesting. We're talking about blind Bartimaeus tonight, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. But somehow this blind man, he believed. You listen to the crowd. I want to tell you, so much of the time, you're just not going to receive what God has for you. I can tell you about a personal example for me is that when we worship the Lord, there is joy in the presence of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Fullness of joy and pleasures evermore. And when we worship the Lord, I want to tell you, there is a real joy. Sometimes it can just be overwhelming to be in the presence of the Lord. And so I'm going to worship the Lord. I don't care what the crowd thinks. I really don't. I mean, I'm a shy introvert, but I just don't care what anybody else thinks about my worship. I only care about what he thinks about it. And I'm going to love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, here's the thing. I want you to hear this now. This is real important. I'm not going to do anything to draw attention to myself, because that doesn't glorify God. I want others to worship him too. But I'm not going to draw attention to myself. I'm going to worship the Savior with freedom and abandon. I'm not going to listen to the crowd, because I know the crowd sometimes would keep me from being in that place. So I'm encouraging you tonight. Don't listen to the crowd. Sometimes people miss a miracle, a deliverance, a restoration in their family. Healing, because they don't want to walk to the front and be prayed for when there's a crowd. Here's the thing. If they really believe, nobody has to beg them to come down. Nobody has to plead. Nobody has to trick them, manipulate them. If they really believe that they're going to get a miracle, that something powerful is going to happen, that their life, their family is going to be changed, they'll be climbing over the chairs to get down here. Nobody's going to stop them. And you need to hear this. This is the way it was for blind Bartimaeus. He wouldn't stop. They said, "Be quiet, be quiet." And he just yelled all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He believed, and because he believed, he would not be denied. Son of David, have mercy on me. Crying out to the Lord. Psalm 34:17 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Psalm 57:2, "I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me." Psalm 107:28, "Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses." Blind Bartimaeus, he cried out for mercy. Mercy is compassion with action. Mercy. Don't ever, ever ask God for what you deserve. You won't like it. You know, we slam people in our culture who think they're entitled. But what's really awful is when people think that they're entitled when they're talking to God, like he owes them or like they deserve something from his hand. Blind Bartimaeus got it right. He didn't act like he deserved anything. He said, "Have mercy on me." And don't try to bargain with God. Ask him for mercy. I mean, when your finances are looking good, don't tell God, or not looking good, don't tell God how hard you've worked. When your child is going, I'm sorry, this is just so ridiculous, but I've heard this so many times, and if you said it to me, I don't remember it being you, so don't tell me. But if your child is going the wrong direction, don't say you've done everything right. I have never met anybody that's done everything right, and especially when it comes to raising kids. I mean, it's kind of like trying to herd cats. You know, you just do the best you can. Now, if you want to tell God, "Lord, you know I've done the best I can. I need your help. I need your mercy." That might work, but telling God that you've done everything right, don't lie to God. Okay, I'm moving on. I'm feeling the stares from some, but I'm one of you. I'm a parent. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't do everything right, and I know it. Carmen might have, but I didn't. So they had one good one, right? But see, the problem is that pride will cause you to feel like you deserve something. We got to always humble ourselves and cry out for mercy. And here's the thing, that got Jesus' attention. So Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you." I mean, when the crowd sees God did something great in your life, they're like, "Oh, I knew it, I knew it." They were telling you, "Oh, you know, you need to keep it in perspective." But now they're all like, "Oh, he's calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. He throws aside his outer garment. It was like a heavy coat or a blanket. It was big and cumbersome, and it could have slowed Bartimaeus down in getting to Jesus. But he just threw it off. Now, here's the thing. You know, I talked about a cup, but in reality, blind Bartimaeus would have used his cloak to hold the money that people might give to him. It was also probably the most expensive possession that this blind beggar had, was his cloak. But he just throws it all aside. How could he do that? Because he actually believed that his life was going to be totally and completely changed. And it didn't mean anything to him. He threw it aside. Real faith. Sometimes in our lives, there's things that are hindering us, things that slow us down in getting to Jesus, things that keep us from moving on in the things of God and what God wants to do in our life. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to throw off the sins and the hindrances that hold us back. Not just the sins, but the things that would hinder us and hold us back. See, got to throw off the unbelief and doubts. Got to throw off the fear of man, what somebody else thinks. You got to throw off anything that would keep you from believing for a breakthrough. Throw off pride, trusting in yourself. Throw off finding another way. Trust Jesus. And here's the critical question. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" This is one of those strange things where Jesus is talking to somebody, and in a way it might be kind of hard for us to understand. I mean, this is a blind man. What do you want me to do for you? And see, we look back on the story, and we're like, "Well, he's wanting to be healed. Why do you ask him this question?" But think about this. This blind man was here every day begging. And he could have easily have said, "I just want enough to get by." Or he could have been really bold and he could have said, "I want enough so to live on for a year." But what was just wildly bold, great faith. "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And you see, a lot of the time, people come to church and they just get enough to keep them going. They settle for just enough to make it another day or make it another week. But not really believing, not really asking Jesus for a life-changing miracle. Verse 52, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight." Amazing. "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he was healed. I just want to tell you, it's so important that we believe. Our faith is in the one who said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. Our faith is in the one who can do exceedingly abundantly all that we could ask or imagine. Our faith is in the one who calls those things that be not as though they were. Our faith is in the one who gave 100-year-old man and his barren wife a child. Our faith is in the one who raised the dead, made the blind see, who set the demoniac free, who redeemed us by his blood. Our faith is in the Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth. Why do we not believe him more? And here's the last thing it says about old blind Bartimaeus. By the way, I got to make the point to you. He was blind Bartimaeus. That was his label before because he was blind. But this was written decades later, and they still refer to him as blind Bartimaeus. But here's the thing. Now it's a testimony because he's not blind anymore. God has totally changed his life. But here's the last word on Bartimaeus. Jesus told him, go your way, but this is what happened. And he followed Jesus on the road. Follow Jesus, the one who had changed his life. He chose to make Jesus. Jesus told him, go your way. Well, he made Jesus his way. Now he's following Jesus down the road. A lot of people just want the Lord to do, you know, get things worked out for them. Do a miracle, help them in this situation. And then they'll be on back living their life. Not blind Bartimaeus. He followed Jesus from then on. And he never went back to begging. He wasn't going back to that old life. He was going to follow Jesus down the road. How about you? What are you going to do? I believe tonight there's some of you, you've been battling, dealing with some issue. You might even have a label. I want you to know that Jesus can set you free. That Jesus can give you victory. That he can heal you inside, but also heal your body. We serve a mighty miracle-working God. And I encourage you tonight, be like old blind Bartimaeus. Make up your mind you're going to believe. Ask the Lord for mercy. Throw off anything that would hinder you. And when God does a miracle in your life, when he blesses you, when he changes you, when he fills you, sets you free, oh, follow Jesus down the road. Stay close to Jesus. Stand with me. We're going to pray.